just give you this time and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Men, if you would, please. Thank you so very much. I want to remind you, ladies, those who are streaming and those who are here in the sanctuary with us, appreciate everyone showing up. But I want to remind you of our mother-daughter banquet that we had to postpone last week because of the death of Don Kratzer. And so we want you to be here. If you signed up, great. We've still got your name. And we just appreciate what God's going to do in the mother-daughter banquet. I really feel like it's going to be something special. So come anticipating it. I so appreciate. Oh, and we need camp forms in. We need those in as soon as you can get them in. Yesterday will be fine, but it won't be too early. Okay, we need camp information in. I just so appreciate. I want to thank all those who brought food for the funeral of Don Kratzer, and there was, of course, food left over, and that's great. But I really appreciate it. It's an act of love, and we thank you for that display of your love and concern and caring. Well, glory, hallelujah. Yes, Mark. Okay, Mr. Beth, real loud, please. Real loud.
My sister Donna is just exhausted and wore out.
Sure. Glory. Thank you very much. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I think about that song that we were singing and the word I want to share with you. In Luke chapter 9, I want to... I want to remind you that God made the plan of salvation very simple. So simple that even a simple-minded person can understand His plan. He says, "Wow, thank you, Jesus." Huh? That got a lot of us in, didn't it? But it says in chapter 9 of Luke, verse 28, "It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." We're in Luke chapter 9, verse 29. "As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance or of his face, the way that he looked at them and the way that he appeared to them, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment, his clothing was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias," or Elijah. Of course, we have here the type of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. And in fact, we find in Malachi that Malachi said that these two would appear again. This is not what he's talking about. I mean, this is not the incident, okay, that has still yet to happen. But I want you to think tonight about us living, thinking, walking in the spirit realm, Okay, I know you hear a lot about that, but we've got to learn to do that. I do, you do. As we get further into these end times, we need to depend upon the Spirit. Okay, so this is a spirit level happening. I was thinking about, in fact, let's keep a place there, as Brother Mark was sharing this morning. I so appreciated that word. In Proverbs chapter 1, he said in verse 9, he said, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace around thy neck, around unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. This ornament of grace. And I thought, as Brother Mark was sharing this morning, this ornament of grace is a spirit level adorning of a person. Grace adorns a person. Us being graceful to others is like to God that sweet smelling savor, that grace, showing grace to people. And so this, he says, this chain about their neck, this adorning it is. And that, you know, we kind of dress up, you know, when we come to God's house or we have something special, we dress up. And grace, this following the Word of God, is an adorning of the spirit man. Okay? So I just throw that out. We won't even take up another offering for it. Okay. Come back with me to Luke. Okay. And so these two men, Moses and Elijah, appears. Peter, James, and John are up on the mountain. And Jesus took them there to pray. And Jesus is praying. And as he prays, his very face changes. And his clothing changes and just are radiantly glistening, white and glistening. So these two men, Moses and Elijah, Jesus is talking with them. Jesus is carrying on a conversation. Now, we have interrupted a spiritual level. Okay, this is a spiritual happening. And so they are discussing something. These men who have been dead for 1,500 years, 2,000 years, one of them. Okay, so they have been deceased. And so they are discussing something. And here's Peter and James and John. And he says, they talked about his decease, the crucifixion, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So this is going to be a happening, an event, as this whole thing of Jerusalem and the crucifixion, resurrection, such is going to take place. And Moses and Elijah, and all like they know what's going to take place, and so they are discussing this. And wouldn't you like to hear Moses and Elijah carry on a conversation with Jesus? Moses and Elijah had never met one another on planet Earth. And neither one of them had gone to heaven. They were where Abraham was. And so they're carrying on this conversation. Man, what an opportunity. Wow. Over here, these men, they're supposed to be praying. They went up to pray. They're sleeping. Okay, now I don't fault them. This is probably a nighttime event. And they have gone up this hill, and they went up a mountain, and they're praying. Jesus is praying, and Moses and Elijah shows up and discusses Jesus' crucifixion. What it handles, what it holds, the repercussion. And, you know, I don't know this. I can only surmise, and so just take it as that, is that these men were dwelling where Abraham was, in the bosom of Abraham. And I wonder if they had talked about that before. These Old Testament saints we find in other scriptures, even in New Testament, Hebrews and such, these Old Testament saints, their eternity hasn't been sealed yet. I don't mean where they're going, heaven or hell, but until Jesus resurrects, their victory has not been won. Ours has been. Because Jesus purchased for us eternal life. And we know it. Oh, what a powerful name, this name of Jesus. And so, yeah, I can see them discussing, this is really going to happen. Jesus, you're going to do this. You don't understand what this is going to entail. You're going to become sin, and on and on and on. They may have discussed, they discussed his decease. They talked about his dying, how he's going to die, why he's going to die, what's going to happen, what's it going to purchase, I suppose. I don't know. But they spoke of his decease because these men knew about this. And they had had communication with God before in the Old Testament, we find. Okay, so, and in fact, Moses spoke of this man Jesus in Deuteronomy. He talks about the prophet that is coming. Okay. In fact, let me show you something here. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, okay, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says in verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I think it meet, or I think it necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I would endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now he's talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what they heard up there on the mountain. They have the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. And they said, "But we've got a more sure word." Well, this gives me goosebumps. We've got something more sure than what Moses and Elijah and Jesus were discussing. He says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times," talking about in the Old Testament, "by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." He says the Old Testament word is more powerful than what Moses and Elijah and Jesus were discussing. Wow. Man. Boy, if we heard something like that. But he says this is more powerful. Okay, back to Luke. So Peter says, Peter has this experience. And in verse 32, he says, Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, talking about Moses and Elijah, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, hey, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now, that is certainly, they made these tabernacles, and it's like tents or whatever, just a place for them to come. They were made for someone to come to stay in. And so these men are leaving, and you know, Peter calls this the Holy Mount in 2 Peter. But anyhow, he's saying, man, these Moses and Elijah is leaving. Let's build them a place where they'll stay here. We don't want this to end. It's kind of like worship tonight, man. We don't want it to end. And so let's grab some stuff here and build something out of limbs and leaves and whatever, a place where they can stay. Or maybe it was a place for them to come back to. Don't know. Surmising. But it says in the last part of verse 33, Peter had said, let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. Not knowing what he said. Peter didn't realize what he was saying. Peter did not realize, he did not comprehend or did not hear that they'd been talking about his decease. And so not knowing, he said something that didn't fit in. And while he thus spake, while Peter is speaking, there came a cloud on that mountaintop and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud, as the cloud began to consume them. And when the voice, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close. And told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Well, we find in the account of Matthew, I think it is, that Jesus told them, don't talk about this. Don't tell anybody about it until later. Talking about the resurrection. Yeah. So, they didn't tell anybody about it at the time. Wow. So, I want you to note that this incident concluded, or turn to 2 John, if you would. Shows us the fact that this man, Jesus, he was the power, as we're singing that song, the power of his name, of who he is. And we find over and over in the writings of Jesus and what Paul wrote that to believe who Jesus is, to believe that he is God come in the flesh, to believe that, you can have eternal life. You say, well, you got to do more than that. Man, I'm going to tell you what, people have added so much to the word. And you say, well, you can't just believe that. Yeah, you can. You see, because to really believe in your heart, he said, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay, well, he'll forgive us of our sins. Okay, but you see, for us to really comprehend who this man Jesus is will cause us, motivate us, lead us to wanting to do his will. Amen. Wanting to please him. Amen. That's why it is so necessary, folks, out there streaming with us, everyone that is here. We need to grow in Him. We must grow in Him, or we're going to be deceived in these end times. There's a lot of junk coming down the stream, and we need to dig in. We need to grow. We need to study. We need to seek His face, but we need to comprehend who He is. No wonder Paul said that he counted everything but loss that he might know Him, that he might know Him. Peter missed it up there on the mountain. You know, he said, hey, let's try and keep these guys around here. No, he didn't know what he was talking about. So, okay, we're going to look here in 1 John chapter 4. Now, in verse 1, John says, and this is John that was up there, okay? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We're in 1 John chapter 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Look at this. How do you know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, this is not intellectually assuming this. You believe this. You believe that this man, Jesus, was born of God and of a human being, but he was the only begotten Son of God. And this very truth, this very phrase is mentioned over and over by Jesus in the Gospels. So he says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's a big separation. Any other religion except Christianity does not claim that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. They don't believe it. So what does he say about them? He says, this is that spirit of Antichrist, middle verse 3, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. But you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than they that are in the world. Let's drop down to verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the covering for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. How do you know that you dwell in him? And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, when we believe who Jesus is, we realize he is the Redeemer. And we will desire to walk after him. We've got to comprehend this. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, in verse 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What an awesome need that we have to comprehend who Jesus is. No wonder Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know him. You can have everything in life. I just want to know who he is. And to know that therein is where the power of God is. Study it out. And you will find that the power in the early church was comprehending who Jesus was. That he was divine. He was God. Stick with me here. In chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. What? Boy, doesn't that wreck our theology for many years? As many times we've come up with rules and regulations. You got to do this, got to do that, got to do that to go to heaven. You can, like Brother Marcus sang this morning, you know, you can't do some of these things and go to heaven. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, he's talking about believing to the extent that we walk in it. Believing it to where we realize, man, this man Jesus died for my sins. What he says is true. And so we have faith in him because we know that what he says is true. He says if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, that he came to forgive us of our sins, that he never leave us nor forsake us, his word says. And Peter says, more so than the words that were spoken there on the Mount of Transfiguration, we call it, he says, we've got a more sure word. It's amazing. We're talking about God says, this is my beloved son. And here's Moses and Elijah, and they're talking about something that they had never talked about before because they lived hundreds of years apart. And so you see, this, in the spirit realm, these things are happening. And so Peter, James, John, they can't even talk about it, okay, until after the resurrection. I can imagine Peter meeting with some of the disciples, you know, and say, oh, by the way, let me tell you what happened here a few years back. We were up on the mountain with Jesus praying. Why didn't you tell us that before? He told us not to. Don't panic. Okay. So those that believe, they believe this word that is more sure word. They believe that he is. See, in the Old Testament, Moses, as he gave the law, Moses said that God said that there's one coming who is going to be a prophet like unto Moses. He's going to be a person. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, he's going to be a priest. Yes. And he's going to be the king. Amen. And on and on and on. See, if we believe that this man Jesus was all that the Old Testament prophesied, and as Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Okay? And that's powerful, my friend. And so, he says, everyone, in the last part of verse 1, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love God, you realize who Jesus is. Jesus was God. And if you love him who was begotten of God, you'll also love those whom have been begotten of him, like your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yes. Hello. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. You see this thing, well, I believe, you know, it's... Like I shared a few services back, you know, the man that rode the motorcycle around the barrel and, mm-hmm. and you know, how many people believed that they could ride with him and survive, you know, and a lot of people believed it, but they wouldn't get on it. Okay, so this believing is that we believe it to where we will walk in it. Follow with me, please. We know, verse 2, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Jesus taught that over and over and over. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbors yourself. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that overcometh the world? Wow. Look at the answer. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Was Jesus born of Mary? Was he conceived by God? Yes. And he says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit, he came by flesh, and he also came by Spirit. And the Spirit bears witness. This is why we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. That whatever God's Word says, we agree to it and we walk in it. Amen. We just start walking in, no matter what, We're going to do what He says. We're going to walk in His Word. Amen. We're going to walk in His Word because the Word is true. It's more true than what Moses and Elijah talked about, even though what they talked about was true. But He said we have a more sure word of prophecy, something we can just hold on to even more than what Moses and Elijah knew about His decease. So we can walk in His Word, knowing that Jesus, what He said and what people said of Him, like Paul, Peter, people that wrote of Him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can take it to the bank, folks. Amen. I mean, you can trust your eternity in it. In fact, you must trust your eternity in it, because if you don't believe this, you can't have eternal life. You can't go to heaven and not believe that Jesus made it possible for you to go there. No wonder He said that in My Father's house are many mansions. If it was not true, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm coming to get you. Why? So that where I am, there you can be also. You cannot go to heaven without believing who Jesus is. You can go to heaven by believing that, because you will believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Yes. You'll believe who He is. You'll believe He has a power to forgive you of your sins. Yes. Powerful. Look at this real quickly. There are three that bear record in heaven, verse 7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Well, if that confused you, He said, and these three are one. Friend, there's one God. There's one God. I'm not just going by this verse, but this one verse is enough. But we see the whole picture. He's saying Jesus is God. That's what the whole thing. You believe that Jesus was born of God? He says there's three that bear witness. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that He hath testified of His Son. God says, this is His Son. Amen. God said, this is My beloved Son. Receive Him. That's what He told Peter, James, and John. This is My beloved Son. Don't go putting an equality of Moses and Elijah with Him. This is My beloved Son. Amen. Believe Him. Let's look just a couple of verses more. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness. This is the witness in verse 9 of God, which He has testified of His Son. This is what God says about Jesus. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Okay, now, what God said was, He was saying, God is saying that Jesus was born of God. And that's His witness. That's what God says. Now, if you say, I don't believe that, I've got a scripture for you here in just a moment. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness, in verse 9, of God, which He testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He knows it. See, you know that Jesus was born of God. That Mary conceived Jesus by the Spirit of God when the power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. If you don't believe that, he that believeth not God, let's make God a liar. You're saying God is a liar. You're either brave or foolish. You want to go to heaven and you're going to claim that God is a liar? The witness of God is, this is My beloved Son. Receive Him. That's the witness of God. That is the witness. That is the truth of God, that there is one way into heaven, and it's Jesus. He caused Mary to conceive and have a boy child who lived a holy life, did not sin, became sin for us, was in the grave 3 days, and He came out of the grave, resurrected, so that we know who He is, and He has already paid the debt. When He died for us. Amen. And your loved ones. Yes. And so, Those who do not believe that has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. The record that God gave is, this is my son. And this is the record that God hath given, verse 11. This is the record, in case you don't get it, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Wow, isn't that exciting? This is the record that God gave. I mean, this is what he says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Remember we sang that song? Oh, what a wonderful name. What a powerful name. What a glorious name. What a name above all names. This is what God has given to us concerning his Son. These things have I written to you, in verse 13, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might believe on who he is. This is your access to God. This is my access to God. And so what he says is true. Heaven and earth might pass away, but his word will not pass away. It is true. If he says he wants to do something in your life, friend, you can walk in it. If nobody agrees with you, amen, it doesn't matter. Amen. His record is true. God's record is true. Amen. Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is God. We read it here in verse 7. There is God. God. There's his Son that was conceived. There's the Holy Spirit that came and God done a new work and made it possible he could dwell in us. And he said, these are one. Okay, there's one God. And this man Jesus is God. And so you can trust him more than you could trust Moses or Elijah. And they knew what they were talking about. So, therein. Follow with me here if you would. We're going to close. He says, I wrote these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's us. I wrote these things to you because you believe on his name. Okay? he says in middle of verse 13, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on his name. You just continue believing. You know you've got eternal life. You know you have eternal life because you know who he is. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Oh, wow. Come on. Tell us about it, John. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears you. Amen. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. What we got to know is, what is his will? Yes. And when we ask according to his will, we know that he will grant unto us that petition.
Amen.
Okay. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That's you praying for your loved ones. There is a sin and death. I do not say that he shall pray concerning that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Oh, really? Wow. Well, he sinneth not because he's got a new nature. He doesn't sin from his old nature. He doesn't sin from his old person. He doesn't want to sin. He wants to do what is right.
Amen.
Because he's a new creature, a new creation. Let me just go. I was going to touch on that. But we'll come back to that sometime. Okay, he says, all unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not unto death. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The devil cannot take you out of the hand of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
And John tells us that, that the Holy Spirit is able to keep us. And we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. What a powerful name. the name of Jesus. In Him is our confidence. We are the sons and daughters of God. Let us walk in His Word, that this Word that we have is the most sure Word there is. Stand together with us. Thank you for your patience. Appreciate it so much. Appreciate your interest in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Read it. Read it. Ask God to give you more of His Spirit, to help you to walk in His Spirit, because the enemy does not want you being led by the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we thank you tonight for your Word. Help me to walk in your Word first of all, Lord God. And Lord, these precious folks that are here tonight, those who have heard us, Lord, that are streaming, thank you for their desire to hear what the Spirit would say to us in this day. And Lord, help us to walk in the realm of the Spirit, not of our own, of our own learning, or of our own inclination, our own wisdom, Lord, but to walk in your Word. And Father, help us, Lord God. We need you desperately. Keep us from falling, Lord. And Lord, you tell us how. To stay in your Word, a fellowship of one another, Lord God, and just loving you and seeking you, we will find you. Go with us. Give us a great week in you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, bless those who are streaming with us. Amen. Praise God, Lord.